Blog Talk Radio. I'm Supreme. let my love go. You.
Good evening. Okay. All right. Okay. Try that again. Good evening. I am your host, La Perla Negra, and this is Divas Talk. And I'm joined by my panel of divas. Got myself Lisa Lips. How you doing tonight, Diva?
Hey, girl, what's up?
Hey,
I'm feeling pretty good.
Okay, all right. That's what I'm talking about. I also got my Canadian connection, Lady A. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm glad to hear you with her, too. Hey, Lisa.
Hey.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. And this is sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? The dial-in number is 319-527-6300. And please, by all means, press that 1 and join us. We'd love you to. Now, before I continue into the show, I have to give a major shout-out and a thank you to someone who is a very, very good friend of mine. And he is not only the CEO of Epiphany Radio, he is the CEO and creator of Raw Links. And his name is Arthur Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real the Poet Douglas. Baby, baby. Yeah. Now, these raw links that I speak of are beautiful, handcrafted jewelry. Creator makes some of the most astonishing pieces, and they consist of precious metals and woods and gemstones. They are absolutely beautiful, and you can get whatever it is design you want. You just let him know. And ladies, I got my raw links on. You got yours on?
Always.
Absolutely. I know that's right, Divas. And you can acquire those beautiful pieces on Amazon and at rawlinksbraw at facebook.com. And if you can't get them at those places, make sure to holler at any one of us here in Epiphany, and we will make sure that you get to adorn your body with one of those amazing pieces. And ladies, 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 I say divas, 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 tonight's show, I'm curious. I want to know, how fine do you think the line is between being guarded and people having access to you? I'm going to start with you, Lady A.
Well, I really like the question, and I think, part of me says, that we're empowered with our own choices. But the reality is that we do things in a repetitious way, and lessons learned often need to be beat over our head with it, because we, in turn, choose the same kind of partners, choose the same kind of personalities, and which were unsuccessful initially, and yet keep changing. We don't change the record, so to speak. We just keep playing the same tune over and over again with the same results. And so I think the line is very fine, but tends to lean towards repeating our same mistakes.
Okay. Miss Lips?
I, in my life, can't be sure that there is a line. There's this crossover of things that I do in my own way and things that I do out of being God. And I'm kind of living in that gray area where I'm kind of trusting, but I kind of don't. So I there's no real line unless something is late, unless somebody is really, like, in my face, then I'm very guarded about everything. But for the most part, I kind of live in the blur.
Okay. Okay. Well, the line between me being guarded and people having access to me is thick for me, because there is a side of me that nobody has really ever seen. In my lifetime, may have been one or two people, but because they trust, haven't really allowed anyone to see that side of me. I stay extremely, extremely guarded. I put a brick wall behind a steel door and all of that. Now, those that have access to me are also very close to me, but it's going to my divine counterpart, which I haven't yet, to get to that place inside of me for me to really, like, they got to have some tools to chop down that wall. And it's not saying it's a permanent wall, but once you have allowed people into your that part of the world, and they betray you, that's a hurt. Ooh, it puts fear in you. about allowing anyone really access to any part of you at all. But because I am I'm a kind soul. I'm a very giving soul. There are people that I allow access to deep parts of me because I feel as though they deserve that part of me. That part of me is very, very loving, very nurturing. And for me to consider you a friend, that means that I love you. And like I said, I feel like you deserve that part of me. Not everybody gets that from me, I promise you. It's only a select few. But they know who they are. And that's pretty much it with me. So yeah, it's a pretty thick line for me, it is, between allowing access to me and you just ain't getting in no way, shape or form. So, ladies, can y'all still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, no, because I'm working with, you know, sometimes the signal is a little crappy, yeah. But I am going to start with myself tonight. I wrote a piece, I kind of, how can I say? I was kind of like some lines down. The whole piece didn't come to me, all at once. It was like I'm going to jot a little bit here and I'm going to jot a little bit there. So, and I haven't even read this to myself yet. So y'all be patient with me. But I'm going to see this turned out. All right. It's not even titled. All right.
Okay.
All right. Her wings were clipped, young, and love was broken too soon. Some tried to develop a heart. Let me start back over. I'm sorry. Her wings were clipped, young, and love was broken too soon. She tried to develop a heart of stone, but her longing to be loved kept it soft. The fear of someone drowning her in them made her save up all her tears. She chases shadows of her lovers trying to get to their hearts with failed attempts each time, leaving her standing at the edge of nowhere. And that damaged little one inside of me has been trying to escape as of lately, screaming at me to just get out of the way so my heart can have the space it needs to heal all of the way. Telling me that's where my true love lies and that if I just let go of her and allow her to fly free, the true love my heart rightfully deserves and seeks can finally grab hold of and never release my heartstrings. 'Cause see, he's seeking you too. And just as the morning dew on blades of grass is a surety to be there, His love is the surefire for permanency you need. But to receive him and all that you are worthy of, you got to release that little one held captive of damage, hurt, anger, pain, and fear, and allow her to fly free. That's that piece.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you. I thought I just threw something together.
I like what, you know, you repetition is the best way to remember something, no matter what it is. You know, you try to teach a child something, you repeat it over and over again. And I find in your poetry, you have that same repetition for your heart to protect it, to be in charge of it and not settle for anything less. And this piece shows that quite quite well. There is right from the very beginning, you know, the guardedness there. And you express it in such a positive way, too. And this is just another piece of your peace of mind. And I really like that.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I trust.
I enjoy listening to your pieces because there is such sincerity in how you write. Your constant is that you want to be loved, but you want to be loved well. And you're not willing to settle for anything other than that. And I really do feel the pieces because I know that I want that in my life as well.
Absolutely. You are so correct. I don't use the word loved well, the word correctly. I want to be loved correctly. You know, there's a way to love a person. You can either love them, you know, the way you assume they want to be loved, or you can come correct. You can take the time to get to know them. You know, some people are very, very selfish with the way that they love you. Like I said, they make assumptions believing that, you know, this is the way you're supposed to do it. And it's not always like that because a lot of people don't want to take the time to get to know each other, you know? And that's pretty much what keeps me guarded. You know, I have given my heart, oh, God, several times, and it's like, I was being taught a lesson, and the lesson was to start loving myself before I love anybody else. And I got my hand smacked by the universe many times before I finally went inside of myself and stopped and realized, you know what, you got to start loving yourself. And that means that you have to stop accepting everything. It's okay to say no to some stuff. You know what I mean? So. And that's where that guarded, that the boundaries are set up at, within that part, learning how to say no. So we're going to go next with you, Miss Lips. What did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight?
Much like you, I was writing part pieces, and I actually just finished this piece after the show started.
Oh, we got fresh ink.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So other than kind of glancing through it, I have not read mine either, so.
Well, I'll tell you what. Whenever you're ready, the mic is yours.
Okay, I call this Guarded Freedom. There was a time when I moved free. Small town girl. Country girl. Free spirit. I spent my days exploring my world, traipsing through the forest, riding bikes, visiting with neighbors, or helping out my grandparents. But there was always this shadow, because I was from the generation of a child should be seen and not heard. And in my house, it went to an extreme. Because I knew early on that I was my father's wish, and my mother would do anything to please him. She tolerated me for his sake, so I never truly knew her, only that she kept me well, because he required it. And Dad saw me as a possession, his princess, a china doll on the shelf, his guarantee that he had a caretaker when he got old. So my hopes and dreams were frivolous, smoke in the wind, because my purpose was for their good, and what I wanted bore no weight. And I was an obedient minion, trying hard to do everything they expected. And the brainwashing was complete, because I felt wrong if I chose myself. And that was my life. never straying too far from home for fear of their wrath if I wasn't there when they needed me. Constantly guarded, even though the world never knew. 'Cause away from the house, I tried to be free. But I've never known how that worked. So I made poor choices 'cause I was never taught love, only servitude. And I fell for men just like my dad, who wanted my loyalty, but always got tired of me running back home 'cause my obligation was to them till they left this plane. And I did what I was expected. Dad left in December of 2004, and I cared for Mom alone until March of 2019 when she finally joined him. And now I'm not sure what freedom is. I spent my whole life following instructions, and now I'm rudderless, not sure how to navigate life on my own, which has me stymied, not at all sure how to move. So for me, I'm not sure where the line is, because guarded is my whole life experience, and freedom terrifies me, but I'm open to learn. I live, and you've just been surfaced.
You said you are rudderless. I like that line. Your whole life has been guarded. That was deep. Every family member in my immediate family, except for my twin, has made me feel indifferent and tolerated. Not to desire to have me there. So I can relate to this. That was a lot of transparency. I know I keep using that word, but that's what I get from a lot of poetry, especially when it comes from a place of real life. Real parts in our lives, the errors in our lives, some parts we haven't even figured out yet, but we need to speak on it to get it out, to perhaps maybe give us an understanding, or maybe somebody can chime into it and give us a certain perspective on that a similar experience. I love your poetry, Lisa. I really, really do. Because some of it really hits home. And this is one of those pieces. I wish I had known my daddy, but he passed when I was really little, and I love this piece. Thank you for it. Lady A, what you got for this?
Yeah, I really, my heart aches when I hear your poetry sometimes, Lisa. I was thinking that some of the words that you were, like, you were always a shadow and never heard. And the mother's role was not fulfilled in your life, and I totally relate to that. And the brainwashing, it's amazing how we allow, and I'm the same way, allow those lies to bend our minds to a point where it sometimes is crippling, and I've experienced that myself with some things that happened to me when I was a kid. And you know, you deserve that freedom. You deserve the freedom of loving who you are and establishing the line for yourself, by yourself, for yourself, and try to, the freedom terrifies you as you're open to learn, you said. And I think that the freedom will give you the happiness that you're looking for. And anybody that's in that same position, we want to be happy, and we're the authors of our own happiness. And it takes a lifetime, unfortunately, to get to that place where we see that. And you speak it well with your poetry. It was very heartbreaking, this piece.
Yeah, and sometimes when I'm writing these pieces, I kind of have to step back from it as I'm writing it and try not to be absorbed by it. But when I start to read it, when I finish it and I start to speak it, because I can read through it 1,000 times, but once I start to speak it, the emotions of it take me over, and I struggle to get through them.
Yeah.
But, these are the things that I live with, and the sometimes irrational fear that I deal with. And I fight myself constantly just to be a part of society sometimes, because I can close my door and be in my house for days on end without ever opening the door sometimes.
Wow.
So it's a constant struggle for me.
Oh.
I so completely understood. I get it. Thank you for that piece, Lisa. Now, Lady A, what did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight?
I wrote a new one, too, just before the show, and just finished it up there a little while ago.
Ooh, we got more fresh ink.
Yeah, and I'll just read it. And I haven't given it a title yet, but here it goes.
All right. The mic is yours.
Thanks. Common sense takes flight on wings of doubt and sacrifice. Voice of reason is mute, struck by lightning's raging brute. Patterns like paper ripped, courage her pen gripped. Rewrite history's tale of woe and rock the boat of status quo. Never again, her pledge each time he perpetrates his crime. His promise empty. She wants to believe, but proof speaks plenty. Games begin, cat and mouse, tiptoe through the entire house. Reality screams, stop, he's lying, not long before she's crying. Shame, embarrassment, embrace, and pride hiding its failing face. And question pose, why? Writing is always on the wall. He won't call. Truth is known, ignored. Insanity sweeps the floor. The mirrors covered. Refuse to see what's underneath. She hovers. Blame shifts from him to her, and she is her own decision maker. Power lays within her grasp. Build protective walls to clasp. Guard your mind, your heart, and soul, lest in the end you grow cold. Traverse that line of loving you, empower self, and watch you grow in peace.
Wow. Can you go back and give me that line about the mirrors? What were you saying?
Hang on a second, I'm trying to find it. Okay. Mirrors covered, refuses to see what's underneath. She hovers.
That's deep. It's like she doesn't want to see.
Yeah.
What's within her? See her true reflection. I went through that. I went through that for a couple of years when my husband, you know, made me feel like I was just ugly. It was the thing that the few words that he said to me that just made me stop looking, literally looking in the mirror. Like, oh, well, ain't no sense in me checking my reflection because, you know, it's not even worth it. I'm just ugly. And, you know, I walk with my head down, keep my hair combed down in my face and you know,
wow,
covered. Cause that's just the way he made me feel. Like I wasn't supposed to wear my hair away from my face. So,
and why do we end up believing those guys?
It's easier to believe the negative because it leaves more of an impact. When you get hurt, that's more of an impact than the happy feeling you get. You get euphoria from happy, but you get deeply cut pain when somebody is intentionally trying to hurt you. And that's different from someone that is not trying to hurt you, but maybe something they do, they make a mistake, might hurt your feelings or make you feel a certain kind of way. But, you know, it's honest, an honest mistake. It's not intentional. But when someone sets out to really, really, like, break you, they can say some shit to you that can knock you on your ass and have
yeah.
you feeling like you can't breathe. And it's just, it sticks with you for a long time. It took me about 3 years before I would look back in the mirror again because of those few words he said. You know, I love wearing my hair up. I love a classic bun and a classic ponytail. You can dress it up or down any kind of way you want, and it still looks good. And he said something to me one day when I was getting ready to head out. I had put my hair up in my little bun like I normally did. And I guess maybe it was getting me too much attention. And he said, you know, it takes a lot of courage to wear your hair away from your face. And it just broke me that day. And I didn't wear my hair up or back away from my face for a long time after that. You know?
Yeah, I went through that too. I mean, even till now, in my house now, the only mirror in here, I can only see from chest up. I never look at my entire self because my father constantly called me fat ass.
Oh.
And I don't look at my body.
Yeah, it takes a lot of healing. It really does. And I totally understand that. But, baby, you eventually got to get you a floor-length mirror so you can look at your whole self and just love every part of you again, okay? And understand those words that he was saying to you was coming from a place of hurt within him. And like they say, you know, hurt people. I say bullshit.
Yeah.
Hurt people try to damage your ass. That's what that's about.
Yeah.
But divas, let me do a station identifier, and we can get to these callers in here because we got some poets waiting to get up in here and spit some poetry for us. So I'll be right back.
Tiffany Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. This is Epiphany Radio, and you are listening to Divas Talk. The dial-in number is 319-527-6300, and please press that 1. Now, ladies, let's get to these callers. First caller we have up on the mic is a C-Double-34 Music, y'all. Hey, C-Double, welcome to Diva's Talk. How you doing tonight?
Well, first off, I'm doing fine, and I'm hoping that you can hear me clearly.
Yes, we can.
Okay, La Perla Negra, Lady A,
yes.
Lisa Lips. It's been a while. Good to hear from
it
you.
It has.
It's always
good
to hear
your voice,
from
too.
Yes. Yeah. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I've listened to all of your stories, your poems. Very deep, very intense. And you're all beautiful. Just put it like that, okay?
Thank you. A girl only, you know. Every girl needs to hear that once in a while. Okay? So thank you.
You're very
welcome. Now, let me ask you the question of the evening. How fine is the line between being guarded and people having access to you?
That's a great question because I believe I control the narrative. I believe
mm-hmm.
that some stuff that I've put out in poetry for the past few years is a lesson, but I don't tell everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's pretty much how it goes. I could say it's a thin line or a thick one, but I control
mm-hmm.
the narrative. I control what you know and what you don't.
I know that's right. I grew up and learned how to do that too. It took me a lot of growing, a lot of years, but I finally growed up. I growed all the way up, and I learned how to do that, and now I am in control. I appreciate that. Thank you for that. Now,
you're very welcome.
What did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight? Because you never disappoint.
Well, I hope I don't disappoint tonight because I have a piece called The True Man Show.
Okay. Well, whenever you're ready. The mic is yours.
Thank you. All that has been said about a true man, I'm in agreement with. However, who can gauge what a true man is? Can a woman tell a man how to be one? No matter how many strap-ons, penile implants, or erectile dysfunction drugs, where she'll love it too, testosterone levels raised to ultimate capacities. No matter how many programs are televised in revolutions of revelations that summarize the equivalent equations today, I face the same glitch. Maybe I should be embracing my Captain Caveman! But I can't say that because I'd be labeled a Neanderthal in every statement, misogynistic woman hater, but that lie is quite blatant. I'm made different in God's image, not supposed to relate to women's movements that change the rules for, oh yeah, me too. How do I step to you without fear of being abused and accused without evidence of proof of identifying my innocence to being attracted to what I see, attached to being attacked by the feminist monopoly in a world where all the stacks are decked and place bets. I respond in retrospect, my respect for the opposite sex has been set since day one out the womb. People assume I'm a brute. But if I'm sensitive, I'm perceived as effeminate. What's the lesson here? If you never had an example of what a true man is, you let others wear the pants and you be damned and canceled. If you fight for the right to keep your family together, only to lose physical custody, you come out bitter and regretful. You don't know what I've been through, and it may sound like I'm offended. But if you were in my Air Force Ones, you'd say, I'm just a man needing redemption. Comprehend this message I'm sending with some apprehension, especially when I'm called a good guy. But some women accept freak boys from the devil's presence. I ask for forgiveness, and I want to help here make the visual better. Of why the masculine deficiency to help you see this man from a different perspective. The definition in this dictionary is not about putting the dichotomy between putting dicks in many ladies' bodies and create addiction to cherries. Did you completely compare me to something uncaring and unnecessary? Because I won't support the gay agenda and this man from Mensa mentally avoids being menstrual? I love you, my feminine friends and enemies, so don't knock my potential. I'm just a man of faith, and I'm hoping just to let you know. By the way, I'm 100% pro-pussy. In peace.
Yeah, that happens every time. Them ending lines are life, man. I'm like, Miss, what you got for that?
First of all, thanks for making me laugh. I needed that.
You're welcome.
But yeah, I get it, and I understand. Where you're coming from, and I get that line you said about women choosing these hard folk and not understanding what a gentle man really is. Yeah, I get it. It takes maturity within her to see a man like you and understand that that's what a man is. So, yeah, it's an amazing piece. I really enjoyed it, and the chuckle line just got me at the end. That line just got me.
Well, thank you. Just had to let you know.
Yeah, that lady. Hey, what you got for?
You know, you are of the old school, where a man is a man's man, and treats a woman the way that she should be treated. In your poetry, in this particular poem, I should say, there were a couple of different topics that could be expanded upon. And I do have a question, though, for you, because I feel somehow that there's, I don't know, there's a little bit of a jaded thought process with regard to women of today being emasculating men, which I know it happens all too frequently. And the gay agenda, that was the other one. And so you have poetry that you write that has that begs for more, that intensifies as you read it, and it gets to a place where you know so much discussion could be had, interesting discussion, lively discussions can be had with what you write. But I think ultimately in the end, you are a man's man. You are at the same time as objecting to some aspects of womanhood today, I think that you love women, you know, you have an empathy for them and you love them. But sometimes it's a bit frightening in a way, I think. You know, that roaring part of yourself that you showed us tonight, and I think that you're a dwindling part of the human race, because men are being emasculated by many women, and the dishonesty in some relationships has harmed men's psyche. And because I think men are more delicate in that sense than women are. Does it make sense what I'm saying at all? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And
well,
I agree.
Here's what I'm going to say about this. This poem I wrote because there was this poet friend of mine who happened to be a feminist. And this was like a few years ago, but I remixed it. And I don't know how I have this magnetic attraction where anybody could come up and talk to me and have a conversation and give me respect. This feminist gave me respect just because I answered a response to her poem.
Mm-hmm.
So I love women to the core.
Yeah.
That's why that in line had to happen, because I love women to the core. Sometimes that was a fault of mine because I looked for the body instead of the character of body. You get what I'm saying there?
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah, I truly get that, because there are a lot of men who only want what they see and have no idea who she really is.
Yeah,
And okay. That's a major growth within you to cross into that area where it's not just about how I'm going to get laid, but what does this woman really think? How does she really feel?
And see, that's the point, Lisa. If you take this back 30 years ago, mm-hmm. I was the Michael Jackson type of man. You know, is it all right if I come down there and sing to you? It was like, and they would just throw it at me. I wouldn't ask for it. I never had to ask for it. They would just, you just being a gentleman, you're just showing them kindness, and all of a sudden, you're in the bed. Now, I've learned.
Because a lot of men, like, bang you over the head. So when somebody comes at you gentle, it's a whole different way of looking at things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have to ask this question after that. When you said, you know, the next thing you know, you're in the bed, is that her fault? Is that, what are you saying? Are you saying that the woman manipulates you into the bed, or is not willing for her to be known as a person, as a human being, and just an object? Or I don't know what your point was. I'm going
to put it like this. I don't know if you've seen the movie Revenge of the Nerds.
No.
Okay. Yeah. There's this head nerd who gets with this beautiful woman, and the woman thinks that she's getting with a football player. But she ends up getting with the nerd, and now she's being satisfied by the nerd. What I'm saying is, it's a manipulation, and it's also, okay, I'll take it.
Uh-huh.
That's what that
right.
is.
Mm-hmm.
Who's gonna refuse it?
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, they done took all the words from me, so I'm just saying I agree with everything that my divas have said. It is a lot of manipulation going on with these so-called feminists, because nowadays it seems like just the natural order of things is being demonized, and they're trying to just like remove it and make everybody believe that this deluded sense of reality that a lot of these people have nowadays is the right way and it's okay, and it trumps the actual right way of living and doing things. And you can go ahead and you can have your fantasy, you know what I mean? You can believe what you want to believe, but people know right from wrong. But because it's like a big top circus now, and the powers that be are the ringmasters, and they want, it's like they want this twisted upside down ass backwards inside out shit going on, and that's the way it's supposed to be, and that is not the reality of my life. It's almost like a hateful thing towards men. And it's gotten to the point where these men are, I understand them not putting up with this bullshit from a lot of these women, because they really, these women is really, really high up on their damn horses now. I don't know if y'all seen it recently about the Cheesecake Factory woman refusing, you know, and the audacity.
Oh, yeah, everybody must eat. Yeah,
him.
Yeah.
Yeah, to lock him out of his car, that's what made me stand up and be like, bitch, excuse me. But, you know, damn, how do you have enough nerve to lock a man out of his own car? And he told you he was going to come around and open up your door. Why even allow him to get out the car? If you had a problem with where he was taking you and you saw where you were pulling up to, why didn't you say something right then and there? It didn't make sense.
It's about
to me.
Being in charge. That's what it is. It's about being in charge, being in control.
Yeah, well, she controlled her ass right out of a good date and a good man, okay?
Right.
He was a gentleman up to the very end. He was willing to discuss things with her about how she was feeling. And they did a recent interview with this guy yesterday or day before yesterday. They interviewed him, and he still was the perfect gentleman. He was telling the viewers, stop sending this woman threats and hate. That's not what it's about. I said, I'll be there. You know what? She lost. She lost out. I don't get it,
The thing is that I think has happened is that the idea of feminists and being feminine and being soft and being a lady has been turned on its head, and now it's been weaponized against men. Because I'm a woman, I should get everything I want from you.
Right.
Not I'm going to be the lady that I was taught to be, and men will respond to me in that way. They force you to have to accept whatever it is that they want in order to be around them. And that weaponization of feminism is what's causing all the problems now, because a man tolerates more than he should just to have a female in his life in these cases. And because everybody's feeding their own egos, these women that are painted to the hilt and always perfectly coiffed are the arm candy that they want to be seen with. So they tolerate her bad behavior just to have that image, and nobody's living anything real.
It's really sick then, because honestly, once you give that kind of attitude, I don't care what you look like on the outside, you're ugly now. It's an ugly, nasty attitude, and that's all I see, okay? And she was like, mean, look at me, look at me, and I'm not going to get into how I really was judging her looks, but no, sis, you ain't it. You ain't it. And she's talking about the way she was dressed. She was dressed like he needed to take her to a strip club.
And she
okay?
sure was.
That dress, and then, child, please. I'm not going to get into that, but it was just, are you laughing at me, C-Double? You know I'm telling the truth. You know I'm telling the truth. Because she was talking about going to Ruth Chris or something like that. But guess what? The restaurants that she mentioned, they were all chain restaurants, not just the Cheesecake Factory. Okay?
Right.
I personally know that Ruth Chris is a chain restaurant in different states. It wasn't just one exclusive restaurant. So she was trying to sound.
It wasn't about the chain. It was about the fact that she wanted him to spend $200-$300 for dinner.
Well, then maybe she should have been ready on time. Because she made that man wait outside for a whole hour after he got here. And that's the reason why he couldn't take her to that upscale restaurant. He had planned. He made reservations. And she talking about, can we compromise? By that time, hell no, you can't compromise with no. You done locked this man out of his car. But you know what? All right, we got to get on with this. We got other callers in here. Because I can go on and on about this for a good week. I can talk straight about this, but I'm not going to. C-Double.
Yes.
Peace was amazing, as always. Thank you for coming up and spending time with us, engaging us in this conversation and commentary. It was amazing. I am going to...
I like
to
it when you say that.
What part?
It was amazing.
Oh, my. It was amazing. But I'm going to have... My diva, Lady A, escort you over there to the Temptation Station. You can get yourself a drink, sit back, put your feet up, and take your socks off. Baby. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic to all of you ladies. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Yo, I'm trying to tell you, I can talk about that because she irked me.
Oh,
she
me
really
too.
Did.
Oh, my goodness.
I can break her down, but that's not my character. That is not my nature, so I'm going to leave it alone. But I got tendencies. So let's open up this next microphone. Whoever this is, you got to forgive me. I think I know who this is, but I'm not going to mention the names. I'm just going to open up your mic because I don't have my logbook with the numbers stored in it. I don't know what happened to it. My grandson might have tore it up and buried it somewhere. But we got area code 240. Welcome to Diva's Talk. Who do we have on the mic? Oh. Okay.
Oh,
alrighty.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay, ladies. I'll tell you what. I am going to find a song for us. And when a song is over, we can come back, grab another piece that we can do, and it'd be right back.
Don't create borders, take me in comfortably. Don't be difficult, baby girl who hurt you. Don't be miserable, baby let me love you. Baby come closer, baby come close to me. Don't create borders, take me in comfortably. Don't be difficult, baby girl who hurt you. Don't be miserable. Tryna find my Gotti G. I pray to God we all be here. I just been on my Hollywood. I just been on a Nollywood. I got a place in Hollywood, farther than where we thought we would. Totally be a millionaire. I'm about to make my promise good. I'm getting closer to the dream, girl, I'm trying. Damn, don't it feel like a fire. Top off hands in the sky. Champagne paint for the tire. Damn it, it ain't even Friday. Daddy got a Porsche on the highway. Top off hands in the sky. Pray don't nobody fight it.
Baby, come close to me. Don't create borders. Take me in comfortably. Don't be difficult. Sometimes I don't wanna just say, I don't wanna be shooting.
That I'd like to be sent to me from my diva, Mrs. VIP. If you don't mind, can I have the mic?
Absolutely.
All right. I don't see a title here for it, so I'm going to just get right into it. The line of access to me isn't easy, as I am moreover introverted. So it's a no-brainer, I'm guarded, like a fortress etched in stone. But if you come with honesty, sincerity too, you may have a chance for a true friendship. I already have the romance. My line of access demands reciprocity. The phone works both ways, and I'm not going to bother. If I haven't heard from you in 7 days, but it doesn't happen every day. People say I'm too guarded, like it takes pliers to get whatever I feel out. Earlier in my life, I used to cry when someone showed me compassion, genuinely asking, am I okay and what it's all about. But I'm stronger, wiser now. I'm still a homebody. But if someone wants to access this line, come correct. Or when you ask me how I'm doing, I'll say just fine. How could you? You could speculate deep down. You may or may not be able to relate. Life has its many facets, but you can listen and pray, or give advice if I want it. And I will listen to you as well. My line of access may be my only defense I have against the world. Only few can cross it. So if you think you can come on down on the down low, full of dishonesty and conceit, you'll be quickly dismissed. Because Spirit gave me discernment to weed out all bullshit. Through all that, I'll still say I'm fine, never granting access to my guarded heart and mind. Oh, Diva, that was beautiful. I love that. From the very first couple of lines, yes, that was beautiful. Oh, man. Well, ladies, what you got for that?
Ms. VIP has always had this finesse with the way that she writes. It's simple yet complicated. The lessons that she teaches are accessible, but not something that you take for granted. And that's what I've always liked about the way that she writes. because she opens the world to you, but she doesn't let you trample through it.
That's right. She don't play. She do not play. Absolutely. Lady A, what you got for that?
Yeah, she's so classy, you know. Her pen is always takes the high road when she's trying to project a thought or an idea. She does it in a way that's so dignified. Is that a word too that I can feel I can describe her writing? She has a really beautiful way of sharing her thoughts, and they come across in such a classy way. And this is just one more of her abilities to mesmerize you with her intelligent pen. You know?
Absolutely. Oh, man. I loved it. I really did. It was a... Do you guys hear an echo?
Sometimes, but not right now.
Yeah, I'm hearing an echo. Yeah, it kind of threw me off what I was saying. But, yeah, that is my diva. I always said that. I haven't mentioned it to her, but yes, she is a class act, absolutely. And her level of intellect, it just spills all out into her pen. And I do, I love it. I'm a fan of her, but she already knows that. Yeah. But and thank you for that, Diva. I appreciate you letting me. Trusting me to read your piece. I know I stumbled a little bit here and there, but I didn't really get a chance to, like, read the whole piece. I kind of, like, skimmed through it. But I knew it was going to be good. That's why I asked you, could I read it? So thank you. Now, Miss Lips, what else did you bring for our listening pleasure?
Still sticking kind of with the topic. This is a piece I actually wrote about a very dear friend of mine. And when I first met him, I never thought that we would be the friends that we are, because he seemed like the person that was so inaccessible. But he saw something in me that made him want to be my friend as well. And I wrote this piece about him.
Right.
And
the mic is yours.
The piece is called Thank You. The piece is called Nothing. I don't know when it happened, when you crept into my soul and wound yourself around my heart. I only remember that you walked in beautiful, and I felt something change. I went from a singular cell in a microcosm to fusion, and over the span of a single Earth rotation, we became friends. In the shadows, we talked about life, art, and family, shared histories and difficulties, and things not told to others who've been around for eons. And sometime in the wee hours of the morning, I knew you would never leave my universe. It was crazy because I didn't really know you, but I knew you. And you must have felt the same. Because you opened your door and gave me access. And you're not one who gives away your inner peace. So I was cautious to respect that privilege. But you wanted me to walk in, so I followed you. And I began to see the intricacies, the hows and whys that built you. You didn't so much reveal yourself to me as much as you taught me who you are, by showing me, and the ride is so easy that my spirits lift whenever you're around. And I know you're not perfect, but even your imperfections are beautiful. So I fought the urge to be greedy, even though I never wanted to leave your wonderland. But too much of anything can be deadly. So I began to seek your history on my own. so I could see who the world knew you to be. And even the universe recognized your uniqueness. So I returned to your cocoon, asked you questions no one dared ask, and you replied so completely, gave me answers to all my curiosities and carried me on your journeys, gave me access to your intimacies. You wanted me there for it all, a privilege not given to most. So I opened my door, told you my childhood dreams and living nightmares and the things I thought no man would accept. And you tightened the security around my heart and called me yours. And that's when I realized I wasn't a game to you. I wasn't a minion chasing a fantasy. I was who you saw and wanted in all my shattered glory. And you called me beautiful. So if nothing lasts forever, I want to be your nothing. I'm lit, and you've just been service.
Get him, girl. Get him. Oh, I like that piece. That last line.
Actually, the last line was what came to me first. The last line is what came to me first, and then I wrote back through it.
I love it. I really, really love it. Yeah, and you know what? I can actually see building a piece from that last line. That's got to be one of the sweetest things you can say. Man.
I wrote this piece about someone that we know, that we all know, and he's extremely dear friend to me, and has been a support in a lot of things. That piece was about AJ1.
Okay.
He calls me his sis. Yeah, and getting to know him outside of what everybody else knows of him is what built this piece, and being able to talk to him about anything and knowing that he kept my confidence and he opened up to me and was the same with me. And it built a friendship between us that will never be broken.
And that's so precious. Wow. All right. Lady A, what you got for that?
Yeah, I thought that was beautiful. Heartfelt and beautiful, and I think that it's a rarity to have somebody like that in your life, to walk in and to remain friends, and it just shows the depth of your character and you know, the depth of the love that you can have, even if it's not a romantic love, or if it was a romantic love and grew into more of a friendship. I still think it was just a beautiful piece of art, and you have such a great way of expressing yourself, and it's always impressive. It was beautiful.
Thank you. To tell the truth on myself, if you've ever seen AJ, he is a flawlessly gorgeous man. And when
okay.
I first saw him, that was my intention, was to flirt. And he completely allowed me to say whatever I wanted to say, but he continued to talk to me on a friendship level. And he would tease with me from time to time. And every now and then he would go, okay, am I your brother today or am I your man? What is it? but we built a friendship. We built a friendship up from it. And yeah, he is a complicated man. And I have an understanding of him that I never thought that I would. But he's my little brother, you know, and I could talk to him about anything.
That's wonderful. That is so wonderful. All right, Lady A, you are up next to the mic. What else did you bring for our listening pleasure tonight?
Well, I'm going to stick to the topic of what we were talking to a little bit. I wrote this quite a long time ago. I was trying to think when 2017, and it's called Feminism Lacks Femininity.
Ooh, the mic is yours.
Thanks. Equal pay for equal job. Men can't hog it all. Men can't hog it all. Equal opportunity knocks, and qualifications should stand alone. Insanity infiltrates, and men don't open doors and give up seats or pay for dinner anymore. Feminists lack estrogen. Testosterone has taken over. Women have their own women gear, but their legs have hairy cover. A deficit of femininity leaving feminists at risk for scratching balls imaginary and vaginas surely missed. Equal pay for equal job and respect from male coworkers. Open my door and order dinner for two and compliment my nails and hair color. Feminism lacks femininity. Strong yet frilly ladies, celebrate your body parts. Celebrate your lady parts with pride and wear your, and with pride wear your lady panties. I think there's nothing wrong with being a strong advocate for equal opportunity and job in the job force. But we have to admit, as women, we can't do a lot of the jobs that men do. We can't do the same amount of physical labor that they do. And they can't do what we do. And so, really, there's never going to be equality because no matter what field you're in, you know, the bulk of child, you know, rearing children falls upon women's shoulders. We're the ones who worry about who's going to pick the kids up after school, how to get them off to school, and I know there's a lot of men that take a more active role that way, but basically they shit, shower, and shave, and out the door they go. And so women are essential in the family picture and in breadwinning and just in life, and I think we should celebrate those differences instead of using them as a tool to destroy the man and woman relationship. That's how I look at it anyway.
Awesome piece, and I agree with you 100%. Somewhere in the stitches of time, everything got twisted around. These men have a disdain for women as if they want to just break them all the way down. And there's so much misogyny among these. There are certain men where they feel like they still look at us as less than, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it really isn't like that. You're right, a lot of things that they do, especially the physical part, we cannot do. We just can't.
No.
We weren't built that way, okay? But mentally, we can match them, okay? And it's just like you said, there are things that they cannot do. It is impossible, and it will never happen. This thing where they have a lot of these certain individuals believing that men will be able to reproduce and carry a baby inside of them one day, it just ain't going to happen. It's not, you're not built that way. It would kill a man to have something growing inside of them. Their pelvises are not designed to spread and carry, make room for a life growing inside of it. So it would crush them. It would break their pelvis before the birth, before the pregnancy.
Well, they wouldn't even get to that point. They wouldn't even get to that point because the first labor pain is going to knock them out. They're going to be done at that point.
Let me tell you.
Yes, yes.
They'll never have the equipment for it. They have tried, and it has killed one of them that they have tried it with because the body does what it's supposed to do, treats it as poison. It just certain things, you know, and I'm gonna get off of this in a minute, but they have been experimenting with this thing where they want to train the uterus inside of a man. There are certain organs that are necessary for us to have. We need a heart, we need lungs, we need kidneys, we need liver, stomach, all of that, okay? And all of those things, they are able to transplant that now, okay, and have been successful in those operations because those are necessary for our bodily function, for our survival. But there are things that a man's body does not need. It's not supposed to be there, just like there are things that a woman's body does not need and it's not supposed to be there, okay? And because they have tried to do this, the body treats it as poison and it attacks and it winds up being fatal, literally. So something got, like I said, something been lost in the stitches of time, where they really truly believe, or have people believing this crazy part of life is supposed to be, is supposed to take place. And it's insanity. Like I said, yep. It's like a circus now, okay?
Yep.
You can put the makeup on it, you can dress it up a certain way, but it's not supposed to be, and it's not going to be. Some things you just can't mess with that God did. You can't do it.
My thing
I mean, they
is,
can they can scientifically maybe do it, but just think about the danger to, let's say, talk about the pregnancy thing again. Is think of the danger to that child of having hormones pumped into the host, the man, to keep a pregnancy if they can do it. And just think of the danger that's involved with allowing. Oh, it's terrible.
I don't agree with the science. I don't believe that science will ever reach that level of godliness. That is something divine that takes place within the woman, and that's it. It's not going to happen. They are not, their bodies are not designed to produce what we produce naturally, to sustain another life inside of them. And then, like I said, their structure, the way that they are designed, they're built, is not built for capacitating something growing inside. I'm telling you, before they get through the first trimester, their pelvis is going to pop. It's going to break.
Yep.
And then normal organ transplants, you have to stay on anti-reject medicines life. Okay,
yep.
You can't just transfer it and think that the body is just going to accept it. It doesn't work like that because it's not naturally coming from the person that needs it. It's coming from another person, okay? So it's still, the body will reject it to have some kind of medication that's going to allow it to continue to accept and work within the body like that, because it's from another person and you're just being a host for it. So, you know, they got to worry about surviving the actual transplant, period. And it ain't gonna happen.
It's like the old adage, though. It's like, just because you can don't mean you should.
Yeah.
You know, right. Science can do a whole lot of things, but it doesn't mean that they should do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Well, ladies, give me 1 second here to get my... Oh, no. Did I get kicked out the studio?
No, you're still here, it sounds like.
Yep.
No, my screen my screen has gone completely blank. Let me see if I can try it from another device. for it to load back up again. So, all right, ladies. Well, let's go. Let's come back. I want to say, I got to cut, you know, this has been a really, really great show. We don't have any more callers in here. And I just want to say I appreciate you. Every week you ladies have stuck with me. Every week. And you have given amazing input, amazing poetry. You brought your beautiful, individual, unique personalities, which adds to the benefits of this show all around. And I just want to say I love you for it. Thank you so much, and I appreciate you for it. I really, really do.
And I appreciate you bringing in, because you could have chosen anybody. And so I appreciate the fact that you saw something in me that you wanted to bring into your forum, because you could have picked anyone, or you could have continued doing it on your own. I'm very grateful to be here. I love it here.
Me too. I can say exactly word for word what Lisa just said. Absolutely.
Thank you so much, ladies. And with that, I'm going to say these closing words and take y'all out with a song. As I always say, everybody, thank you very much for my callers, my listeners, people that participated, people that streamed this online. Thank you. If you didn't have you guys participating and calling in, it'd just be, just us talking on air. And that's it. And that wouldn't even last that long. So I appreciate all of you. I want you to continue to get that good relationship going with yourself. Continue to love and respect one another. Be safe. Stay strong. Be vigilant. And with that, I'm going to say peace, and I'm going to take you out with this. Under the moon and all.